Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway View of GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
707 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Today on the road at Filoni's, where 590 The Fan will be all day long for fun and games. Doug, as we celebrate 84 years since the end of Prohibition here at Filoni's. So join Budweiser.
All right.
And 590 The Fan at Filoni's for a repeal celebration starting at 7. That's right now. We'll be live at Filoni's. And serving breakfast for you and here all day long. The first 100 listeners who bring an unwrapped toy or cash donation for Friends of Kids with Cancer enjoy a unique offer. They can purchase the limited edition 1933 Repeal Reserve Amber Lager at Filoni's for the price it cost in 1933. That's 10 cents. 590 The Fan plus Anheuser-Busch present this Budweiser Repeal Party at Filoni's all day long. Doug, pony up, why don't you?
And we want people to bring unwrapped toys for some kids that might have to do without otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here for a great cause, great place. Doug was sharing stories about the opening night of this establishment.
Oh,
he was here.
Right?
He was here.
1916.
1916.
Yeah, isn't that cool? It's been open 101 years.
It's a beautiful place.
How many businesses do you think in St. Louis that were around in 1916 are still around now and thriving? Boy, I bet you could count that on a hand or two.
And
think all the history that's gone through this building over that time. I love these old places like this.
The folks that run this place, family owned and operated, wonderful people.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
The fabulous Filoni's.
The fabulous Filoni's.
Oh, absolutely. Gosh, you know.
They were sharing stories about your son, Nick. They love that kid.
Right. All my kids have been through here and all
right.
Know the people. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is a fantastic place.
What were you wearing
this
opening
night?
This
is a landmark.
What were you wearing the opening night of this place? When you were
opening
here.
Night, knickers, night, I
back,
think.
Back in 1960s.
Knickers and a newsboy hat.
Oh, I like the newsboy hat.
Yeah.
I still sport one of those. Doug, we will have Larry Nickel on with us and Derek Gould on with us. That's your Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log here today at Filoni's. Derek Gould with the latest on Giancarlo Stanton. I've been searching the Twitter tweets, and I don't feel like there has been a whole lot of development since we had Craig Mish on yesterday morning. Although you have some conflicting reports that this is going to take a whole lot longer than perhaps people may have anticipated, that coming from Jerry Krasnick, who yesterday said that this is not close. A Giancarlo trade isn't close to completion, despite the frenzy resulting from weekend meetings with the Giants and Cardinals. It's a complicated transaction with a lot of moving pieces. And it appears it's going to drag on a while. Nothing imminent.
Hey, well, that makes sense to me. I mean, I was kind of baffled that it was going to happen within a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
If the Dodgers are suddenly in the mix, because the Dodgers have payroll issues, and if they have to sort of reshuffle things and kind of shed some players, yeah, those are moving pieces. That's going to take some time. And Mish said that it was, in terms of probability, in his view, it was going to be San Francisco, the Dodgers, and then the Cardinals. So if the Dodgers have moved up, they got work to do. That takes time.
It'll take however long it is until Stanton is satisfied that he's going to where he wants to go. So even though the rest of baseball might want this to happen quickly so that they can move on with other deals and release the logjam here, Stanton holds all the cards. He's got absolutely all of the leverage.
And
he doesn't have to go anywhere until the deal and the team that wants him is completed.
And the winter meetings are coming up, and if you want to just handle this all in one fell swoop, you would think all the media's there anyway, you know, like instead of flying a guy in. And if it's close anyway, why not do it at the winter meetings where there's a million media people and everyone involved is already there? It just makes sense that that's where it would happen to me.
I don't know. I think it makes sense for Stanton to hold out until he gets to go to the Dodgers, if that's where
he wants to
go.
But I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if it's close, if it is close and you're a day away, why would it worked out for the Cardinals, Giants, or Dodgers, and you're a day away from the winter meetings anyway, instead of trying to orchestrate all that and get your crew to the winter meeting, why wouldn't they hold off and just announce it there?
Well,
they
have
a huge window. I'm saying if it's close anyway.
Yeah, I guess. If it's within a day or two, you might as well, but I think it's going to happen whenever Stanton decides it's going to happen.
I agree.
Nobody else gets to make that call.
No, I agree. He has the gun. We've talked about that. If this is something that you feel strongly, and it's a long-term contract, it's not, you know, there to, you know, for a season or two unless you take the opt-out, which you can't plan on because you don't know the circumstances, you want to make sure you're in a situation where you think you're going to be happiest.
Since we're on remote with Budweiser presenting this celebration of 84 years since the end of Prohibition as we dug or ponied up at Filoni's on Manchester, I texted the Plowhawk, who is back at the Kirkwood World Headquarters, and I said, hey, of course, never hesitate to fire drops, but also I'm going to be calling for audio, and I don't know if when we're away, if he and Iggy just kind of sit there and play slap and tickle and look at freeones.com.
Oh, I think their noses are to the grindstone.
And I texted the Plowhawk, just be ready. If I'm calling for audio, and he wrote back, word up, G-Unit.
G-Unit.
Do you have a problem with that?
What does that mean?
You know what it is? What does that Tim mean? And Plowsy are cool. We wouldn't understand because we're the old folks.
I think I'm closer in age to you than I am the Plowhawk.
Yeah, but you have a lemming following, so that kind of makes it younger.
We're not as streetwise as you, Tim.
Yeah, that's true. Tim Avenue, we're right by it.
I was thinking just to get here, I just kind of drove here, and I'm sure you shot on down.
Yeah, just took straight Manchester.
Yeah, I went 44 to Hampton and curved around.
Interesting.
But that's just driving.
I took 40.
When you go Manchester, you're
shooting. How was it? Fine.
Nice. Did you?
Nice take.
It's interesting that we're three different people that took different paths to get here, but here we are together.
Yeah, what path are you going to take when you come by Filoni's today? 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255.
I think that's an interesting question.
Thank you.
Exactly how you drove to get here.
In the meantime, here's Eddie from Queens on the Mike Francesa show.
Oh, all right. Hit the lever, Plowsy.
What are we talking about?
July 4th, 1961, doubleheader to Tigers, Yankees. Do you remember that one a little bit? Or you recall that one?
No, man. What? Off the top of my head, you want me to remember July 4th, 1961?
No.
I was 6 years old.
Well, I think, okay, because that, all right, well, I know you had mentioned that, you know, that's when you were starting to get.
Yes, but you think I remember July 4th, 1961?
But it was when Frank Larry laid down
yeah,
a bunt in the ninth inning and the second game of the doubleheader at the stadium. And I don't know, just wondering if that, you know, even historically, looking back, if that would ever.
What's the point?
There's no point.
What's the point of the Frank Larry? I'm trying to get, why would you want to bring that up? What is memorable about it?
They were in a heated pennant race with the Tigers.
Right, but it was only July 4th. But go ahead, but it was, they're in a pennant race. The Tigers were a great team that year, won 100 games and didn't win the pennant. We know that, okay? But what's the point of that game?
There's no point. Just wanted to share it with you, Mike.
That Frank Larry laid a bunt down? I'm missing the point.
Okay, maybe. All right, we'll leave it at that, Mike.
He's mean. He's mean to his listeners.
That was it. Some old guy got to go to the game and remembers it still and wanted Mike to remember it as well, apparently.
And that was this 4th of July? That's a pretty...
61.
I don't understand.
19 and 61.
And that call was from 3 years ago, so I just thought I'd spice it up.
How did you get it? How did you get that
three years ago? Just some good old-fashioned audio digging.
Yep. It's not easy to do, Doug.
Every show that the man has done is out there for you to nitpick.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. But here's the thing. We don't have to play it. It's almost like we're doing a smear campaign against Francesa.
Yeah, I know.
If they went back 3 months on this show, they could find us looking like idiots.
Seema, sir, and I were talking about yesterday that we only have how many shows left? Like
nine
shows of Francesa left. And I said, you know, the thing is that that's what he does. He's been doing it for decades in New York City. He clearly has a huge following. And all we do is take excerpts that make it sound like it's asinine. But if you would take any clip of this show off of InsideSTL.com since 2004 in another market and just played a minute of it, you'd go, what in the hell is going on in St. Louis?
I say that every time we play a Barstool Chicks clip, you know? Yeah.
Well, we have one today.
They're awful, but we're awful. Who are we? Who are we?
I sit next to the owner every day at Saratoga. His box is next to mine, Chester Broman. Mr. and Mrs. Broman, lovely people. They have a lot of horses. That's one of their horses.
I love
that
Bromans.
Horse has been a favorite of mine, and I've been very lucky with that horse through the years. I know the horse well.
Stop saying horse.
The Bromans. You know the Bromans.
Yeah, they're good people.
They were a Rockaway?
They might stop by here today.
Oh, my God!
gosh.
People are bringing unwrapped toys for kids. It's a toy
Friends
drive.
Friends of Kids with Cancer.
I'm reaching out to the Bromans to see if they can pop by.
If they can afford it.
You know, they got a horse, and I've been friends with the horse.
That's my favorite horse. My favorite horse. Well, we're light on content, and so we play other folks' shows.
That's right. That's right.
Well, here's why. We're not smart enough to come up with our own hot take.
No.
I woke up this morning. Doug, I was able, as you know, to get to bed last night by 10:30.
I wouldn't know that. Why would I know that?
Okay, fine.
Okay.
I'll play along.
I thought you were doing a song. I woke up this morning feeling fine.
No.
I
did feel fine, actually.
Be just a state of mind.
But I woke up, and so 10:30, so I, you know, who knows what's going on. I want to see if there's any Stanton news, anything doing, what the word is. And I'm telling you, everybody and his brother had a hot take.
Steelers.
I guess that's what it was.
Yeah.
Essentially,
a lot of rough stuff.
Well, there was a lot of that, and then there also was the Ball family. Not Lonzo.
Yeah.
I'd like to embargo all Ball talk.
We haven't done much Ball talk.
Yes, and I'm proud of that, although it wasn't really tempting either. But a lot of hot takes on the Steelers and Bengals. And since I had gotten into bed at 10:30, as Doug knows, that I didn't see the game, wasn't really locked
Doug
in.
Doug stayed up after you went to bed, which was odd. Usually you turn in together. Usually you turn in
together.
Totally different houses.
Could you turn the volume down a bit?
Okay, I'm going to try and get some shut eye.
So I woke up, and my God, there were hot takes. Now, I still have not really been able to find a show to watch when we're up as early as we're up to do this radio presentation in the morning. It's local news, which is nauseating to me. I mean, you're talking about the George Carlins and Elaine Boozlers who have chosen not comedy but to be on the anchor desk. Can't handle it.
Except Channel 4, you mean.
Channel 4, of course.
It's a great show. Great morning show.
So
there.
Now I think – so I DVR Fallon on the off chance he has a good guest. I can't really digest him acting like everything is the best act ever at Def Comedy Jam. So Kimmel's my guy. He didn't really have anybody last night. And so the other show I DVR to watch is Scott Van Pelt Sports Center. I enjoy Scott Van Pelt Sports Center. It's a lot different than, you know, like Neil Everett screaming at highlights. So because the game went late, I guess, last night, my DVR started at 10:20, and I'm like, oh, I have the final 6 minutes of the Steelers-Bengals where this led to hot take after hot take after hot take. And so I was able to watch it, and it actually was, I don't know if it was worthy of something where I would angrily tweet out, but I was like, what in the hell are these teams doing to it? It was headshot after headshot after headshot, and I don't know if you guys happen to watch it. It went on early on in the game with Ryan Shazier, great player, and it looked like from his waist down, he was paralyzed coming off the field. And ideally, I read this morning that it is a bruised spinal cord, which is an injury that their quarterback 15 years ago who played in the XFL, Tommy Maddox. Remember Tommy Maddox?
Oh, yeah.
He was like the one guy who went from the XFL to the NFL and had success.
He played for the Rams briefly.
And was with the Steelers in 2002, and he was able to miss a week and come back. So ideally, that's what happens with Shazier. But you had a number of guys getting carted off the field last night. And the intriguing part about the theories as to what was going on is Ben Roethlisberger and Shazier were quoted in interviews with Gruden and Sean McDonough before the game when they do those pregame interviews on, in the case of Monday Night Football, Sundays, saying when they play the Ravens, which is a rivalry, and it's who they play this coming Sunday, they expect it to be a battle but not cheap shots, and you expect guys to help each other off, even if help each other up, even if they get laid out. With the Bengals, both Shazier and Roethlisberger said they worry people are going to get hurt because it gets so cheap. I'm sure that's in part reference to Vontaze Burfict, who was one of the people who was carted off on a stretcher. And even on Antonio Brown's game-tying touchdown with a few minutes left, he took a shot to the head. I mean, it was just like helmet shots to the upper body left and right and left and right. And Shazier, great player, but he went in low, and that's what led to unfortunately, him being carted off the field. That's what Charles Woodson said after the game. Keep your head up.
And the backdrop of Gronk with the cheap late hit, you know, so people are still talking about that. Doug and I have, we disagree about
it. Well, Gronkowski's wasn't even a late hit. I don't even know what that was.
It was like an elbow drop.
It's like what goes on in the tailgates at Buffalo.
It was like a little tantrum. But people were still talking about that, the cheap shot business. But Doug and I have had this discussion. I think we see it differently. I think the number one challenge facing the NFL is people are already aware of the injuries caused by the headshots and, you know, concussions. But when these CTE scans are able to be done real-time on players, and once people see that every player is suffering maybe irreparable brain damage, they are going to be turned off by the NFL. I think there's going to end up being huge rule changes. I do agree that as a culture we love violence, but we like to have plausible deniability so we can convince ourselves that we're not seeing really bad damage done. But when the evidence is right before us, I think it will turn off people. And I think eventually the league will change rules or people are just not going to watch NFL if every player is suffering irreparable brain damage from these head-on-head collisions.
The league has changed a lot of rules already to try to make it safer, and these guys just don't have any respect for each other. The people weren't turned off when Daryl Stingley was paralyzed on the field by a shot to the head. They just aren't. There might be other things that cause people to turn away from the NFL.
You don't think there's more of an issue now with players getting injured and guys that used to? Because I think now, I think the world is, culture is changing, the world is changing. I think people are more aware and more concerned about it now. Because back then it was an outlier. Now we're seeing every guy that retires has something that they deal with the rest of their lives. And with the CTE stuff, if you can know real time, we're going to do an exam. Oh, your favorite quarterback, by the way, he's going to be a vegetable when he's 40. That's going to turn a lot of people off.
I think people are concerned. I don't think they're concerned enough to not watch.
See, I disagree. I think that's changing. I think we're going to see huge rule changes. I don't know if that's going to make a difference or make it better, but I think the NFL is going to have to do something to try to stem the tide of this stuff.
Well, I agree to that as well, but I just don't think that in large numbers people will stop watching the NFL because a player or two gets carted off with an injury. I mean, this has been happening since the game started. People were dying playing college football when it first started. That's what started the NCAA.
But didn't this turn anybody off? All that stuff was an outlier. Now we're seeing more and more that even the guys that aren't getting hurt, the guys that you don't see laid out, may well be laid out when they're 45 years old, and there's medical evidence to back that up. I mean, I think people are going to be shocked if they do this stuff real time, and you see that, 50% of NFL players are dealing with something pretty serious? Yeah, I think the league has to be concerned.
Well, I'm sure they are concerned. The point is not are they concerned. They are concerned. My point is it hasn't stopped people from watching for the last 100 years.
This is new technology. This is brand new technology.
But people understood that guys were getting hurt before. They've always gotten hurt in football.
Yeah, as I said, that's an outlier. Now you're going to know that 60% of the league is dealing with some irreparable brain issue? That's a whole different thing than the one or two guys a year that we used to see pulled off on a stretch.
Glad you brought this topic up on Monday Night Football. The announcers nailed it. They were disgusted. Last night's game is why we took my high school year-old son out of football. That game is why youth football participation is way down. Parents watch those games. That was not football last night. That comes from the 618.
Yeah, I heard Gruden complaining about it. Sean McDonough complaining that the officials were ruining the game by calling penalties that weren't really penalties, and nobody came to watch the official. I'd never really heard of
that. Yeah, there was a touchdown pass to A.J. Green that was called back for holding, and then they show the I mean, it was a long touchdown pass, too. I think it was about 50-plus yards. And then they show that there was I don't think it was a blitz pickup. It was a DN pickup by Giovanni Bernard, and it wasn't even – it was a terrible holding call, and it took back a 50-plus yard penalty. They asked Ben Roethlisberger after the game about it, and he just said it's AFC North football. So as if that's the way that it goes.
It's like when a politician behaves badly, they go, that's just that guy being that guy.
Yeah.
When you say that means you don't really have much rationale behind it.
I don't know how you're going to stop it. People are not playing. Kids are not playing in the numbers that they used to. I'm glad my three sons didn't play. Were they all skinny and slow?
Any of them considerate?
Oh, a little bit.
I thought you said John Vaughn's doughy.
He wasn't doughy as a high school kid. He's a little doughy now. I'm glad I didn't play because I was skinny too. If I had played, there'd be a spot for me in Canton
Nick was
today,
like
of course.
Nick was 6'5", 260.
Skinny kids. But I'm glad they didn't play. Because it is rough, and I don't know how they're going to change it. I just think that
being human beings like we are, our primal instincts, most of the violence doesn't bother most people. I mean, look at the popularity of MMA. The purpose of it is to inflict brain damage. Boxing the same way. The purpose is to inflict brain damage so you knock the other person out. And yet it thrives.
Right, but again, my point is, and I'm not disagreeing that we all love to see violence. We all love to see rough and tumble sports, but I honestly think we need plausible deniability. Yeah, they put in safeguards. What I'm watching doesn't mean that this guy will be a vegetable when he's 40 years old. But once you have medical evidence available on a daily basis that can chart what's happened to these people, I think that's going to turn a lot of people off. We like to convince ourselves that what we're watching, yeah, that's just good rough sportsman. You know, that's no one's getting really hurt. And once we see it, that will change our view.
I don't know. Certainly the numbers are down this year. The ratings are down. The attendance is down. I wonder what percentage of that is caused by people not liking the violence or for other reasons. I would suspect that it's a very low percentage of people who aren't watching now because people are getting hurt.
I don't know.
But there are a lot of stars in the league who've been knocked out, a lot of them. And that certainly affects the quality of play and the interest level. But I just have my doubts that a lot of people are going to say, I'm not watching the NFL because when these guys get older, they have mental issues that they're dealing with.
Yeah, because we're going to get real time. That's what I'm saying. And I agree with you. If it's not the same sport where we see collisions, people will lose interest. I just think that a lot of people that are concerned about what they may be seeing in terms of the long-term repercussions health-wise, once there's tangible evidence given to them on a daily or weekly basis, the league is going to have to change the rules, and maybe that hurts.
Well, does it make you stop watching football?
I haven't watched football since the Rams left. I watched a little of the Arizona game because I wanted them to beat the Rams. I've lost interest based on the NFL and the charade they pulled on St. Louis. I did watch the Super Bowl, but that doesn't, you know, I'm not taking the moral high ground where these people are hurting themselves so I won't watch. That's what turned me off to the NFL. I'm saying in terms of people going out and spending their money on the NFL, this, I think it will impact that, the bottom line for the NFL.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
Yeah, well, that's the bottom line to it all. That pretty much ends every discussion.
We'll both stand down on that.
Guys, I don't watch the NFL because it's boring. Amazing how much more entertaining college football is over the best in the sport in the NFL. That reminds me, Darren Revelle, people do this often. I think I've done it, but Revelle has, like, I think, million-plus Twitter followers. Yeah,
no, then he's a good person.
2 million Twitter followers, and he tweeted out the question asking, what do you find more exciting, college football or NFL? He received 11,776 votes, and so far, 69% say college football. If it weren't for DraftKings, I wouldn't watch. I mean, I wouldn't even come close to watching the NFL.
I think a lot of that question, it gets answered by how is your team doing. When Mizzou started playing pretty well at the end of the season, I was interested in watching Mizzou. I wasn't early in the season. I used to be interested in watching the NFL when I had a team. I'm not now.
No, that's
it's a case-by-case
thing. For me, I think I watched TCU Oklahoma, I watched Auburn Georgia, and I watched Ohio State Wisconsin, and I enjoyed it. If you were to say you have to watch three games where you have absolutely, and I didn't have any money on TCU or Oklahoma, I had to watch three NFL, like the playoff games. I feel like the Texans and Bengals always somehow play each other in the wild card weekend, or one of the two teams somehow are in there and then, of course, don't ever do anything. It's just a boring brand. I watch stuff, and I'm watching eight games at a time on one channel for DraftKings. That's me personally. I also realize I'm a, 0.5% of the fan base that gets that into daily fantasy analytics and all the crap that goes on with that. I think the vast majority of people now watch the NFL for their fantasy team, and then I would put second gambling, and then I would put third interest in their actual team.
I think you might be right there.
Which sounds asinine, but you're only going market by market for, say, somebody watching an Eagles game, but you can appeal to not just the whole United States, but people outside of the country. When it comes to both fantasy and gambling.
So it's sort of an artificial bump that the league has.
Absolutely. It's like when people tweet out, look at the Monday Night Football ratings versus Game 4 of the World Series. And I'm like, well, that's because people are trying to get out of their hole from gambling on Saturday and Sunday or for their fantasy football game. So it has nothing to do with the actual popularity of the sport, unless you encompass the popularity of the sport is directly rooted in gambling, which is not, there's, by the way, it's not like the ratings change. It still works. If anything, it's great. But it's not a reflection of baseball's lack of popularity or football's surging popularity. Because as I've said a variety of times over the last few months, if each sport or each league, and including college basketball and college football, along with the NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and NFL, were stocks, the stock I would sell as quickly as I could would be the NFL.
Yeah, well, I don't gamble on the NFL, and never have, and my interest almost always is tied to how my team is doing. When the Rams were going great, I was as big or bigger Ram fan than I was with the Cardinals. When the Rams fell apart, I no longer cared a whole lot about the Rams. It's the same with Mizzou. When they're going great, I love Mizzou football, and when they're getting ripped apart, I could take it or leave it.
What about when they leave town? Do you still kind of root for those Rammies a little bit?
I don't, no. But I do have fantasy football interest in some of it, but gambling, zero.
That is
gambling. And I'm sure I'm not the – well, yeah, I put $50 in, $100, whatever. But I'm sure there are there's a hefty percentage of people who get turned on or off based on how their team is doing.
I, for me, honestly, once they left, it's not the I just lost interest. I have a bad taste in my mouth about the NFL, and it hurt.
Speaking of wagering, I feel like the story isn't getting as much attention. Are you guys aware of what's going on with the Supreme Court and sports gambling?
Yeah, there's a decision of some sort. I'm not just
yeah, and
that's coming.
And even for me, as somebody who I don't really gamble like crazy on sports. I will bet, but it's not like I'm like, oh, God, there's a game that I have to bet on the Bengals or the Steelers or the over-under. Didn't bet on it, didn't really care. But if there is a game that I like, for example, the over on the Seahawks and Eagles on Sunday night, which I think only missed by like 20 points, I will put a wager on it. And is momentum here over the last 24 hours that indicates sports gambling in the United States might be on the way. As I read, a federal law that effectively bans commercial sports gambling across most of the nation faced skepticism at the Supreme Court on Monday. A majority of the justices indicated that the law had crossed a constitutional line by requiring states to do the bidding of the federal government. New Jersey is leading the challenge to the law, and Chris Christie, the state's governor, watched the argument from the front row. Americans are estimated to annually place $150 billion in illegal wagers on sports. If the Supreme Court strikes down the law, dozens of states could quickly make such wagers legal and reap tax revenues from them. The court's decision, expected by June, could also affect other conflicts between federal and state authorities. Justice Sonia Sotomayor said, some forms of federal regulation of marijuana could be threatened by a ruling that allows sports betting. The betting law, which is the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act of 1992, prohibited states from authorizing sports gambling. It exempted Nevada, perfect, where sports betting has long been legal, along with sports lotteries in Delaware, Montana, and Oregon. Other states were given a year to opt in, but none acted in time. So there is a possibility that by June, you could place a wager legally in Missouri, in Illinois. I don't know what where the winds are blowing in both Missouri and Illinois. I would imagine it would be an instant yes in Illinois. I can't imagine how it wouldn't be.
Yeah, they are desperate for money
right.
in Illinois. Desperate.
And I would hope that it would be a yes in Missouri, but I know that it's essentially two different worlds in the state of Missouri right now.
Well,
there's Missouri and there's Missouri, and I know Missouri would think we all go to hell if we bet on sports.
But I think even those that live in Missouri would see that
Missouri.
People are still betting. People are still betting, even though it's not legal. They find ways offshore, whatever, and we're not seeing people lying in the street penniless because they couldn't control their funds. I'm not saying it's not a problem for some.
But what if it's on water?
Yeah, but if you have a casino and it's touching a puddle of water, then God
okay.
says then Makes God it all right. says it's moral.
I don't understand.
Well, it's a riverboat.
Okay, I get it.
So the point is that pretty much every state now needs money, and people are gambling anyway, and we don't see this huge crop of people that have gambled their funds away. Most people are responsible. I think the time has come where, okay, we should have that. And then you can use the money from the taxes on gambling to do a lot of good. And then the politicians will spend that wrongly, and then they'll still need more money.
I think the best ad campaign going is the Missouri Lottery commercials, in which you have a young student overcoming his fear of performing ballet and a mentor-like figure off to the side cheering him on. And you're going, I wonder what the hell this is advertising, and it's advertising lottery tickets. And then I kind of go, oh, yeah. Wait, that makes sense.
Well, that's why I play, because of my background in ballet.
Wait, so it all ties in. It's a boy ballerina who had reservations about doing ballet.
Right, which I believe is called balleting.
And the silent mentor who had just bought three scratchers
right,
suddenly led the
way. Changer. It was a game changer, the scratchers.
Yep. I mean, what a bright, shiny object ad campaign, the Missouri Lottery commercial. And I'm sure this isn't limited to the Missouri Lottery. I'm sure across the country, the lottery ticket is, this is your chance to win millions of dollars, even though it's a 0.001 chance of having it happen. You have to go, no, look over here. We, with profits, not a percentage of revenue, but with profits, we then donate back and then allow this gentleman to perform ballet.
And I can tell you that...
got to get up on your toes.
Where my son goes to school, and it's not a district that's hurting for money, when they need something extra like new iPads for the kids or whatever, the parents have to raise it through the parent fund. So you would think with a lottery system that's helping boys who want to be ballerinas get that done, that we'd be flush with this money from the lottery. So that's what I'm saying.
Or else flush with ballet dancers.
Ballet shoes.
When was the last time you saw the ballet or a male ballet dancer?
All I know is that even if there is this windfall of revenue for schools or whatever from gambling being made legal, okay, it will be misappropriated in some fashion where it won't be enough, right? I mean, that's the bottom line with politics.
I think we're somewhat desperate for tax revenue in gambling to pay off the sexual harassment claims against the politicians.
That'll go in a separate fund.
Right.
Guys, I had reservations about anal, but Doug mentored me through it thanks to the Missouri Lottery.
Who was that?
Doug, did you buy scratchers or something?
Hipster at Tower Grove South?
Hipster of Tower Grove South has indeed been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name, even as we speak, is going into the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension log. He'll serve a suspension to last a period of 2 days' time. Hipster, Tower Grove South.
So you're a mentor?
I am not a mentor for him.
Seems like you didn't even mean to be a mentor, but then you were a mentor. That's the best kind of mentor, don't you think?
Yeah.
That's kind of like Michelle Pfeiffer in, what was the name of that film? Was it 95? Dangerous Minds.
Disorderlies with the
Fat
Boys.
Totally different thing.
Who would have thought 25 or 30 years ago that St. Louis would have, what is it, 5 huge casinos, or that would even be playing the lottery? It was unheard of.
Well, don't you understand?
Years ago. Everything's opening up
but
now.
That's what I don't like about political opportunists like yourself. You're like, oh, we have all these casinos. They're on water.
Exactly.
Okay? So that makes them moral and just.
Exactly.
Well, what don't you understand about
that? Yeah, it does seem like you don't get it.
That's part of God's
at all.
God said, let there be water. Let there be a casino on top of that water.
Well, whatever it took to get them here, they're here now.
Jack.
And people would have lost their minds over this in the 70s or the 80s.
But if it was explained about the water thing.
Right. I don't think that would have mattered a lot.
Doug, we are live at Filoni's. That's where the Gateway Buick GMC studios are and the AB repeal party. 84 years ago today, the end of Prohibition. So join us here at Filoni's on Manchester. And join Budweiser for a repeal celebration. The first 100 listeners who bring an unwrapped toy or cash donation for Friends of Kids with Cancer enjoy a unique offer. They can purchase the limited edition 1933 Repeal Reserve Amber Lager at Filoni's for the price it cost in 1933, 10 cents. 590 The Fan will be here all day long. Come on by and experience the fun and games at Filoni's. It's the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Gateway, the right way at I-270 McDonald Boulevard. Online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Gateway with 37 service bays to serve you, plus an incredible selection of new and used cars. It's where we get our cars at the McKernan household, and it's where we recommend you get your cars as well. A loyal sponsor of this show and InsideSTL.com for years. It's Gateway Buick GMC at I-270 McDonald Boulevard, 37 service bays to serve you. Kind of a interesting here. Missouri is the 43rd team in the NCAA tournament per Joe Lenardi. He has them as the last four in Missouri, Michigan, Temple, and Clemson. So that'll be fun. Haven't been to the NCAA.
Tournament. Why don't we let the season play out a little bit?
I think you have enough info.
Look at December.
I think at this point you have enough info. At this point, right?
I think
we get it. We get it. Let's go ahead and set the brackets now.
I don't think you can do that. I think you got to play at least a few more games.
I just told you Missouri's the 43rd seed in the tournament, sir. What else do you need to know?
They haven't played a league game yet.
Yeah, but you can see the games they've already played and kind of set it.
I wonder what region they're going to be in because Duke, KU, Nova, and Michigan State are the top four seeds.
How about we let this play out just a bit?
No, we've seen enough.
You got to get so far ahead of the curve. You need to write the schedule right now for March.
That's right. Well, Joe Lenardi has it. This is surprising because they had a really nice game against the Billikens on Saturday. Butler is in the first four out.
Yeah.
Butler's not going to make it.
I think Lenardi probably did this before the Billiken game. They held the Bills to 13 first-half points.
What does that say about the Billikens' hopes of getting into the big dance?
If Butler,
a team that was led them by 40 is not going to make it.
Butler, Georgia, Northern Iowa, and NC State are all out.
How do you look those kids in the eyes?
You can't.
No.
Next four out, K-State, Utah, Oregon, Northwestern, and the next four out are UNLV, Washington State, Auburn, and St. John. So Louis Cordes-Seca will not be back in his tournament.
That's dead on, but I probably would have flipped Utah and St. John's. You're right.
These teams have played like six or seven games.
I think people get that. By the way, so we're asking folks to come by Filoni's and make a cash donation or drop off an unwrapped toy. I brought a toss across because that's a game that I don't care if you're 8 years old or 30 years old. That game is fun. You ever play that with the beanbag with the X's and O's?
Oh, no, I know. Now that I see it sitting there on the bar, now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's a nice game, Jack. I applaud your game, sir.
During the break, I want to play. I'll take on all comers a toss across, and we can put some money on the line. Doug, I'll put 20 up.
Venmo for rolls?
Yeah, what he said.
Venmo for rolls.
That's right.
That's what he's saying, toss across?
That's right.
Venmo for rolls?
Doug, just look at how incredible Missouri public schools are thanks to that lottery cache. We've only had a handful of districts lose accreditation. Could have been many more. Thanks. W applause.
That's right.
So where is the money going? Infrastructure? Things like that?
I think the advertising campaign. Mm. Due to this water-based casino moral lining, I cross a body of water every morning. Glad to know I'm starting my day off right, cleansed from sin. That comes from Scott's Wrinkled Ballsack, who has to travel from a peninsula, I would imagine.
Right, takes a little.
Tom Durfee stopped by and made a $20 donation.
Thank you, Tom Durfee.
Thank you, Tom. So come in, make a donation, and then we can say your name on the air. We just want to get this thing going.
That's right.
Ernie Bjorkman's doing it.
You know who's on the line?
Ernie Bjorkman?
No, Larry Nickel. It's time for the WWE recap.
All right. Hit the lever, Plowsy. All right, Plowsy, wake up.
This is WWE superstar Daniel Bryan. It's now time for your wrestling recap.
Our 590 The Fan.
Wrestling insider Larry Nickel, brought to you by Jim Hayes Enterprises on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes.
Unbelievable. And last night, wow. Larry, wow.
Yeah, it was wowzers.
What happened, Larry?
Hold on. That's for you, Larry. Your special one.
What happened, Larry?
There was a whole bunch of mayhem going on with the new dudes that got called up. And Paige was still wanting to be the number one female wrestler in the WWE. But she's got earned it, like Jason Jordan did, in his bid to become Intercontinental Champion.
She's got to earn it like who?
Jason Jordan. Fabulous
Moolah.
Jason Jordan?
Jordan. Didn't he star, or was that Michael B. Jordan that played Creed?
Oh, hell, I don't
Michael
know.
Michael B. Jordan.
I don't.
Thank you.
Okay. So that was all the chaos last night? They've decided someone has to earn their way to the top?
Yeah, they had to earn it because they can't be handed special treatment, even though they are related to the general manager of all.
Bundesliga, okay. Second Bundesliga.
Nice drops. I'm enjoying it. Larry, let me ask you a question here, because we were discussing professional football, the NFL, you know, and some of the potential physical damage being done to players with concussions, head injuries. And are you concerned that these fine athletes who participate in a real sport in the WWE might be subjecting themselves to long-term physical issues? Sir?
Yes, they are if they continue down that path of being a professional wrestler. For example,
will that make you not want to watch anymore if suddenly your favorite wrestler, someone you got to know as a wrestling insider, was suffering some sort of irreparable brain damage?
Well, that's not 100% true, because they have to let me get to a Doug shoe.
No, that was Jim who said that.
No, that was Doug. That was me. Doug.
Go ahead. Because this has happened to a lot of them. There's been a long list of these guys who've gotten hurt and committed suicide and been on drugs and died.
Drugs and all these performance enhancers that kind of wreaked havoc with them. All right. Well, you don't want to answer. That's fine. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Nixie. I love you.
That's okay. I mean, they have to be on those PEDs.
Boy.
To get back in shape, WWE have their wellness policy.
Yeah, looks like they adhere to it in a very strict way.
By the way, wellness. Every big company has a wellness policy. You know what that means? Go to the doctor and have checkups, and if it's anything more than that, we're probably not going to pay for it.
Wellness. Well, all depends on the condition.
Well, that's true.
But anyway, they have to go through proper doctors to get medically cleared.
To go to the Dodgers.
And, doctors.
Okay.
Okay.
But if they,
so what else happened on the program last night? Anything interesting?
My bad. That was my bad. Sorry, Texters.
But also, there was a match. There was another title match last night, too.
Yeah.
It was the Raw Tag Team Championship was online as the Shield, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose by the opportunity to interview Tegan, Cesaro, and Sheamus. By the opportunity to interview not once, but twice. And they won by disqualification at first, but Kurt Angle came out and changed it to a no DQ match and restarted the match. And then Sheamus and Cesaro still won.
Well, how'd they pull that off?
Dad, you have to give me another chance.
Maybe because they were wanting to be on overtime again, like they normally are sometimes. So they decided to restart the match, institute the no disqualification rule, and Samoa Joe came out to bring out and the bait, Roman Reigns come out to help. But with all the chaos going on, Sheamus and Cesaro still retained the Raw Tag Team Championship.
Larry, how many hours a week you spend watching this nonsense? Watching this sport?
Since I was a little kid. But millions of hours.
Millions of hours? How often is it on a week? It's two or three times a week, is it on?
Well, WWE is on twice a week, and then Monday nights and Tuesday nights.
And you watch it all the time? So that's at least, 4 hours a week?
5 hours, because Raw is 3 hours and SmackDown is 2 hours.
Okay. Anything better you could be doing with that time?
Besides doing the WWE Wrestling Weekend, which is sponsored by Jim Hayes Enterprises, on the line, Gary Monat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. Well, all right. Anything else we need to know?
That there's a match that they made for next week between the big red machine Kane, who is still like that office in Tennessee, and the monster of our men, Ron Strowman.
Doug, do you hear that? He said there's a big match next week between the big red machine who is still running for office in Tennessee.
Why, that doesn't surprise me at all anymore. Okay, well, that sounds like a heck of a fracas. Boy, I can't wait to see where the chips fall in that one.
But you better be watching, Doug.
Oh, well, I won't be. I will not be.
Why not?
I'm sorry. I'm sure I'll be busy watching either Bundesliga or the second Bundesliga.
And besides, I agree with Tim or whoever said that Brazil is the 43rd seed in the NC2A basketball tournament.
Well, yep. But see, college basketball isn't fixed like wrestling.
Oh, my God.
So they'll let this play out on the level and then see who earns it.
Well, that's you, Doug, not me.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's a good explanation. Larry, do you have the top five countries at your disposal?
Yes, I do.
Doug, want to hear?
Okay, yeah. Say it, Larry. Give us
number
a list.
Number five, Russia.
Okay.
Number four, the North Pole.
I get it because it's, you know, the Christmas season.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
Burlives.
Number three, Jerusalem.
It's a city.
Number two, there's a tie between Israel and Paulizer.
Oh, I love that one.
Wow.
Good job.
Tie.
And, of course, number one, United States of America.
Yes.
Good job, Larry.
Yes.
Thank you.
Larry, God bless you, and God bless these United States of America.
Yeah, God bless America, and stay tuned for the morning light, no morning after.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Larry Nichol right there recapping the WWE. Looking at your Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log, Derek Gould is going to be with us at 8:30 with the latest on Giancarlo Stanton. And we'll look forward to hearing from Derek with where things stand in his opinion on that. That's at 8:30. Send your emails in for the Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. The email today is presented by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Right now, Tunnels 12,000 and Bill Pullman have wins. And so it's kind of like, all right, there's Alabama, there's Clemson, they're doing what they do. Tunnels and Bill Pullman are two forces you expect to be there year in, year out, month in, month out, and you just know the Oklahoma of the bunch, Misty Plops, is going to be there soon. You just know it's going to happen, and that's fun.
Are we getting a lot of emails these days? Because we seem to read the same four or five every day.
Well, there are 120 teams competing in the FBS, but yet you see the same teams in the college football playoff, and I would tell you that's kind of what the email today is like.
Boy, Tim, you know, when you bring a point like that to the table, it really underscores that you get it.
Yep.
You get it.
And it also underscores Doug doesn't.
You don't get it.
We're giving out nice prizes here. It's a suspension special at Hot Shots.
That's right.
I would hope that others would join the fray and have their emails.
So back when the Celtics, even though they had that bum Bill Russell, even when they were winning title after title, you were like, let another team win it. I'm tired of the Celtics.
Yeah, I wanted the St. Louis Hawks.
How about letting the cream rise to the top?
And they are right now and all over our chest. Because if you take a look at Misty Plops and Bill Pullman, they had a sudden death playoff. And meanwhile, Tunnel said, that's an opportunity for me to backdoor the first contest of December. It was a great strategy. It got him on the board. Meanwhile, Bill Pullman defends November in December, and he's off to a great start too. So it's fun to watch people ratchet their games up, especially in this 12th butt of the year.
Well, that was well said, I guess. It's very dramatic. If that's what you were going for, and you succeeded, I guess. Ratchet your game up.
12th
and if you're one of the big names, you get your email read. And if not, I don't know.
Well, Plowhawk will be on the reads today.
Okay, how about we give somebody new a chance, Plowsy? How about we read one that maybe we haven't read from?
We read the best ones, so I can't just give a handicap to people that are ready to make that leap.
What's wrong with you, Doug?
To being read on air.
Are we still getting a lot? Are we getting dozens or just
Patriots
a handful?
Are writing in from all over the land.
Are they?
What's wrong with you? All of a sudden you're like, hey, whoever wins the NL Central, we're not going to go by that. Let's let some other teams have a chance and send them to the next round of the playoffs.
No, it's not like that.
Is that
at
what
all.
We're going to do?
No. No, everybody gets to play in the NL Central. Some of the people write in emails, they don't get to play because we don't read them.
Well, how about Plowsy and Seymour, when they get these things, whoever's reading it, they go through them and they put the best at the top.
I don't know if that they do all
Which
the
sports
time.
Franchise would you compare Misty Plops to?
Probably the Yankees.
I disagree.
Great analogy.
I disagree. I'm going to say the Phoenix Suns back when they had Westfall, Alvin Adams, that group.
Gar Hurd?
No, you see it now? Do you see it now?
Yeah, I guess that's right. I feel like I left one on the table there. Yeah. Who would you say Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech is?
He's probably the Steelers.
Of the 70s or right now?
Probably the 70s.
Boy, you guys are stupid.
Yeah,
the New York
I was
Rangers.
Thinking of Mike
now, think about it. The New York Rangers back when they had Ron Duguay, who was dreamy.
Doogie, watch him. He can fly.
Was that the 94 bunch?
He had the perm and everything.
That beat the Canucks?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, aren't they more known for Mark Messier and... No, Ron DeGay?
Yeah, you can't just look at the surface. That's Doug's thing. You got to really start analyzing and digging deep. Thank you.
Keenan was the coach of that group.
He just got fired by his KHL team.
Good, good. Whoever fires him, they were right.
You watch a lot of KHL, bro?
I have not. No, that's the Russian league.
That's
he's
right,
coaching
that's right.
in the Russian league.
That's
how far he's fallen.
That's right.
And they didn't like his act either.
That's right.
How do you communicate to the Russian players and
Actually,
the Russian
Doug,
media?
I believe he was coaching a franchise in China.
Oh, Lord.
Well, the ESPN headline I read said he was fired by the KHL, but maybe that's a KHL there too. Or maybe the KHL's in China as well.
He had to make millions as a coach here. Wouldn't you shut it down at some point before you go
maybe
to
Maybe he has a passion Gdansk? For what he does. You're having a bad show. Maybe he has a passion for what he does.
Well, would you ever, I mean, when we all get the let go here, are you going to go to Gdansk? Continue your career,
yep.
Kiev. Gee, if I could just—I just have to do this, even if it's at the end of the world.
Let me tell you something, sir. I have passion for this that comes from my loins. Okay,
yeah, it does.
I got hot takes that need to be spit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need to let the people know what's really going on.
And you would spit them even if it required you to move the family to Vladivostok.
I worked in Newburgh, New York, baby.
Yep. I don't get it.
Doug, this closes out the 7 o'clock hour. Come on by, Filoni's. I know, yeah, you're going, that's Tuesday morning. It might be a little early to get a nip of the cooking, Sherry. Well, we're going to be here all day long. 590 The Fan here, celebrating with Budweiser, 84 years since the end of Prohibition. So join Budweiser at 590 The Fan at Filoni's for a repeal celebration. The first 100 listeners who bring an unwrapped toy or cash donation for friends of kids with cancer enjoy a unique offer. They can purchase the limited edition 1933 Repeal Reserve Amber Lager at Filoni's for the price it cost in 1933. That's 10 cents. Come on by Filoni's as we celebrate with Anheuser-Busch, the Budweiser Repeal Party at Filoni's, and it starts here with our wonderful radio presentation. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. The Seamonster on the ones and twos. The Plowhawk and Iggy back in the Kirkwood studios. We are live at the Gateway Buick GMC studios at Filoni's. Come on by. The water is warm on 590 The Fan KFNS.